Can you just close it? We're going to deliberate on the poll. Before we get there,
referred to as the State Security Agency.
that it will no longer have, we already have a Minister of State Security who has adopted the name, used to be the Minister of Intelligence. So that you will no longer have a NIR, you will no longer have a SUS, you will no longer have an OIC, and a concept that will all be integrated into one entity in the NASAS. Now presently there are three pieces of legislation, the fourth one, but essentially there are three pieces of legislation. The one is called the Intelligence Services Act 65 of 2002. There's the Intelligence Services Oversight Act, it's an Act 40 of 1994, and there is a National Strategic Intelligence Act of 9 of 1994. These are the three acts. There's also a Concept Act, it's a piece of legislation that gives effect to the birth of this entity called Concept. Concept is very similar to your ESCOM. State, 100% state owned entity. It's a private company, and the purpose of this amendment, this intelligence amendment bill, is to repeal the Comsec Act, to unbundle or deregister Comsec as a state entity, to take the functions of Comsec, the things they are supposed to be doing, and to incorporate those functions into the State Security Agency. So Comsec Act is merely an act that's going to deal essentially the laws that we are dealing with are the three that I mentioned. They form the entities that I have mentioned. The formation of those entities we will find in those three pieces of legislation. The Oversight Act merely is the entity that forms the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence and the Office of the Inspector General. But the Oversight Act is included in these amendments because the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence and the Office of the Inspector General has oversight functions of these entities, and if the entities' names are going to change, or if the functions are going to be integrated into a single entity, then the oversight bodies, the Office of the Inspector General and the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, will then have to have oversight over the new body, and hence the Oversight Act will also have to have some, what we can generally call, without any reservation, technical amendments. That's what we face with. If you look at the bill before you, and as an attorney I speak for myself, it's complicated. It looks very complicated. It looks very, because there's a lot of cross-referencing. There's always a difficulty. So if you look at the actual bill that we call GILA, General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill, it's a general bill because it is affecting amendments to a whole lot of legislation. And if you look at it, it refers to this section and that section, this act and that act, and so it's complicated. I'm going to ask the staff to simplify this thing for the members so that you have the individual acts, and in the individual acts to incorporate in the individual act in a different color. I've already had it done for myself, so I'm going to hold up for you to see what I'm talking about. I'm going to show you now the Intelligence Services Act, and you'll see the red. Now the red is indicating the next, all the amendments that are incorporated. The actual act, all the words are there. The only thing that has been incorporated in this is to show you where the amendments are to take place. So if you look at this thing that I have before me, the black will be what remains, the red will be what is going to be changed. And I propose that as we go forward, what we will deal with then is we look at these things individually, and it will be so much easier for you, because when you look at this, you look at the color and know, well, that's the things that must be amended. Those are the things that's going to go out, and the things that's going to go in, because mainly it's deletions that's going to take place, and where we are bringing some of the functions of Comsec into the new entity, the State Security Agency, we will then put that in a different color. It's not new stuff, it's things that you're just bring incorporating. You're bringing over now to this new entity from somewhere else. So there's nothing really new. This will make it easy. I was of the view, and I must apologize, that the members had already been given these documents, and I, in my enthusiasm at the time in the original bill was referred to the committee, I had taken the tedious task of doing these things myself. And so I have done it for myself, but I was of the view at the time that my staff had circulated this to the members. But I think the confusion came when we were busy with the budget which at the time last year, and the bill ran into those problems in the sense that we didn't have the time, and then the time period collapsed. So I think it is in those circumstances that it was never circulated. And this morning, just before we started, when I thought I would refer to these documents, I thought that the honourable members had staff informed me that that was in fact not the case. And I'm very sorry, because it would have been very helpful today if you actually had this before you, because if you just page by page, and you could see, and you could actually deal with this thing in a very constructive manner, and by dealing with it one law at a time and just going through it rather than having general discussions with. But I will see that these things are available to you no later than tomorrow, so that by the next meeting everybody will be in possession of what I consider the easiest way of dealing with this thing. You see it before you, and there's no need to be scared of what it is that you're doing there, because what you're doing is just taking the three laws and putting things together, and that is technical. The minister has given us an indication that two things in the bill is not technical, and that's the question of the NICOC, your National Coordinating Committee. It coordinates the intelligence agencies. In the intelligence community, you don't only have the State Security Agency. In America, they have 16 intelligence agencies. It's quite a big environment. In South Africa, we have three. We have the one, the State Security Agency. We also have the Defense Force, which has a intelligence capability, and we also have the police, which has within the police service an intelligence capability. It's all set out in the Constitution, nothing strange about it, nothing untoward, it's all constitutional. And then there are laws that give effect to this, and the Joint Planning Committee has an oversight function over those three intelligence entities. The one that we are dealing with here now, which is State Security, NICOC, the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee, is a committee that consists of the principals of all three of those committees. Well, it's not committees, rather, those three entities. So it would be the general from the head of defense intelligence, it would be the general head of crime intelligence, and it would be the director general in charge of the State Security. That generally is your NICOC. And you can understand that NICOC, under the circumstance, would not be capable of being controlled or falling under the jurisdiction of one minister, given that those other two entities also report to different ministers. And what the minister has said here, that he sees no problem if the poll, of course, the poll as it stands is recommending that NICOC fall under the authority of the Minister of State Security. That's a concession which the Minister said the committee should consider removing. The other issue is the National Communication Center, the NCC. The Minister gave you his view on the matter. He's left it up to the committee to decide whether the National Communication Center is something that should be included in the bill or not. And it's a policy thing. There was a proposal that we should get briefings on this thing, and I would imagine that if the decision is, and because it is a policy thing to remove from the bill, there would be no need for us to understand in these processes what a National Communication Center is about, and because it did not form part of the work of this committee. So, honourable members, I hope I simplified for your purposes the discussion that will follow, keeping in mind that we are dealing with three pieces of legislation, and that the key document is not before you. It's just a question, as I said, of oversimplifying matters so that you are able to deal more easily with things. My secretary reminds me that Parliament has taken a particular stance that minutes should be kept and that minutes should be approved, and that the question of the minutes of this meeting can no longer be delayed. One of the members you have, and I did mention it to you last week, you should have copies of the minutes before you. You should have copies of the minutes of the 20th of April last year, the 23rd of November last year, and the first meeting that we had, which was the 12th of February this year. Do you have those minutes before you, honourable members? I did tell you last week, as my closing argument last week was that we will deal with the minutes this week. That is well said, honourable members. Can we then, just for the purposes of, just go to the minutes and then we can continue where I left off and come back to the deliberations. Is the minute of the minute of the April the 20th. Now, honourable members must not get excited. The minute is not does not include a very important statement that you might have made, and you find that it is excluded from the minutes. Minutes is what it is. It's a recording of the essential discussions that took place. More than that, it includes any resolutions that have been taken. I think the debating about the minute in the Parliament, actually, who was here and who wasn't here in attendance. The next thing is the resolution that we took. It's impossible to include in minutes all and each and every discussion and who said what. They are recording of the proceedings. So those people, if it comes to a controversy, the controversy can only be about a decision taken, and if there was no decision taken, there can be no controversy because the decisions are recorded. So if there is a resolution, it has to go to the vote. Or if it is recorded that there was consensus that the committee agreed, then those are important things because a resolution once adopted cannot just be ignored. And anybody that wants to do something other than the resolution will have to get the committee to reconsider and send such a resolution. So it's important that we record resolutions. It's not important to record that the Honourable X and the Honourable Y were in disagreement with a particular proposal. If the two Honourable Mr. X and Honourable Y wants to have a debate on that, we can pull out the tapes, and perhaps the Honourable X would bodily get the victory over Honourable Y, in that the Honourable X would have to say he was correct. So, Honourable, I say this because sometimes there's a misunderstanding of what the minutes are for. Can you go to the minutes of April the 20th? Is there a mover for the adoption and acceptance of the minutes? Honourable members, if you have the minutes before you. I see the Honourable Stibble moves at the minutes. Who's the Honourable Bengal? He's seconding the motion. Are there any amendments to the minutes as it is, honourable members? No amendments, and the minutes are so accepted and adopted. If there are issues in the minutes arising, honourable members, I will allow you to note those things so that we can discuss them at another stage. It is normally customary that arising out of the minutes there might be important things that the honourable members would like. I would, for the purpose of today's meeting, ask the honourable members to note those things forward it to the secretary so that we can put them on the agenda if there is something arising at the minutes. Can we then move on to the minutes of the 21st of November?
On the minutes.
Can I have a mover? And Ron Rapidelli moves. Did they have an acceptance of it? Do I have a second? The Honourable Bengu, did I see you second? And Bengu second. Is there any additions, is there any alterations, is there any spelling errors on the minutes? I'm not specifically obsessed with punctuation and spelling. I know there are those that, but if you have a spelling or a punctuation issue, I will recognize it. If there aren't any additions, honorable member, then shall we regard, or any amendment, shall we regard the minutes as so adopted? The minutes of the 12th of February, then, honorable members, can I have a mover and a second? Honourable members, the minutes of the 12th. The minister was here that day, I remind you. I have the honourable lady moving for the adoption of the Honourable Rapidelli seconds. Any amendments, any additions, any alterations, honourable members? The minutes then, honourable members, I repeat, honourable members, if there are issues which you want to raise arising out of these 3 minutes that we passed, notify the secretary in writing and we will then put the thing for assessment by committee as to whether we'll have an additional debate on that. Honourable members, can I then leave a minute and then go back to the deliberations?
What about the Facebook on this market?
It was lost. Honourable members, can we then just leave the minutes for the moment and go back to the deliberations? We had public hearings, honourable members. And there were matters raised in the public hearings. I think after the minister has addressed us, there should be, and after what I've said, there should be a better and a simpler understanding of what it is that we're trying to do. We have got a proclamation. It's a proclamation from the president. The president can't introduce law, so the president is a person that creates intelligence agencies, etc., in the Constitution. He would do it by proclamation. It would be up then to Parliament, after an introduction of the executive, to give effect to the proclamation. The President has proclaimed the State Security Agency. So, as I said last week in Afrikaans, they say it is an item of the sun. It's a foregone conclusion. Parliament is requested to give legislative effect to this thing. And the legislative effect, the minister is saying, let's just amend what there is. I am going to deal with a white paper later and there will be a proper debate on this whole entity and we will look at national security and I will deal with that in the second phase of this whole restructuring of intelligence community. So there's an intended white paper, there's intended debates on national security, there's intended whole range of things. All going to culminate in eventually in a state security hole, which is not this. So, honourable members, can we start to debate on the understanding then that what we are dealing with is now. If we are going to agree to the policy matters to be set aside, that we are dealing with a technical issue, can we, in the climate of what I've said and what the minister has said, then have some deliberations on the way forward with the committee. Honourable members, it's over to you. I got the honour of the main here.
Jay, just on process, I'd just like to note that I may be summoned to appear before the Arms Procurement Commission, which, as it stands now, may begin its public hearing phase on the 3rd of March, which is Monday next week. When I have had final notice from the Arms Procurement Commission, I will immediately let you know, because it may have implications for deliberations both on the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill and also on the Protection of State Information Bill. I'm hoping to be able to give you further information during the course of today. Chair, on the question of the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill, I have in the previous meetings expressed reservation about centralizing the civilian intelligence services into the State Security Agency, despite the fact, as you say, that the September 2009 proclamation has already been passed, and to some extent this is, as you say, an extra SOC. But I do think that it is a significant departure from the policy set out in the White Paper on Intelligence in 1995. It reverts us to a model very similar to what the White Paper on Intelligence in 1995 calls the old dispensation, and that is a structure very similar to the National Intelligence Service and for that Bureau of State Security. And as the White, our own policy on intelligence notes, it is inconsistent with general international trends, which normally have separate domestic, foreign, and, I believe, signals intelligence services. I think any liberal democrat in a constitutional democracy should be deeply skeptical of any intervention which centralizes power, particularly in the state security sector. But that's a general overview. Chair, in my view, the problem with the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill is not so much what is in it, but what is not in it. And here there are, for me, two overriding issues. The first is the whole question of the State Security Agency and its mandate. This issue, you will recall, was raised in several submissions during the public hearing first. And you know, and we all know the argument, and the argument and the central concern is that the State Security Agency mandate, or the mandates of the separate entities that will make up the State Security Agency, are too broad, are open to interpretation, and risk politicizing the State Security Agency. The remedy, which I believe we need to consider, is to a provision to confine the mandate of the State Security Agency to legitimate national security concerns. And it would seem to me that there are possibly three options. The first option would be to introduce provisions which reformulate or which formulate a new mandate for the State Security Agency using a designated threats approach. That is, in a word, fairly radical legislative security, legislative surgery, I beg your pardon. The other alternative might be to include a provision which formulates a new mandate or sets up a new mandate for State Security Agency using the existing and agreed upon or almost agreed upon concept of national security set out in the Protection of State Information Bill, which, as you know, specifically excludes lawful political activity, advocacy, protest, or dissent from the definition of national security. And the final possible approach would be simply to add a provision which specifically excludes lawful political activity, advocacy, protest, or dissent, the formulation which we have already agreed upon in the Protection of State Information Bill, into the state security agencies mandate. In other words, we specifically exclude lawful political activity, advocacy, protest, or dissent from the mandate of the state security agency. So three possible approaches. A completely new designated threats approach, an approach which might use national security as the core concept in formulating a mandate for the state security agency, or we simply specifically exclude lawful political activity, advocacy, protest, or dissent from state security agency's mandate. Three possible approaches which we might consider during our deliberation. So then, just briefly, the second issue which I think is of major concern and cannot ignore, cannot be delayed until the state security agency bill is introduced, and that is the whole question of foreign signals intelligence. The concern here, as we've heard in the public hearings, is that the National Communications Center could be used, foreign signals could be used to circumvent the provisions in the RICA Act which require a judge to authorize the interception of communications with South African citizens. And the solution there is simply is to add a provision or to ensure that there is suitable provision to ensure that, and by that I mean legislative provision, not regulation, to ensure that a judge authorizes the interception of communications by South African citizens which may arise from bulk interception by the National Communications Center. So those are two major concerns, the State Security Agency's mandate and the whole question of foreign signals intelligence, which I believe cannot wait until the new white paper on intelligence is introduced and the new State Security Agency bill is introduced. I think that we should deliberate and deal with those issues now and make the necessary amendments in the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill. So you'll notice that I have not raised the issue of NICOC. I accept that that issue could hold over until the new White Paper on Intelligence and the State Security Agency Bill.
I note the Honourable Cicely is that we are wanting to be heard, Honourable Cicely. And I'll see you the only board in Baba Dali after that.
Yeah. Thank you. Firstly, let us appreciate the amendments that are being made by the states on security. You know, I'm trying to look at America. You know, in America in the 60s, predominantly the dominating structure was the CIA. And it was a centralized structure that was controlling the intelligence. Then until they found that there was a tendency of abuse of power, which is because they were literally controlling Africa in overthrowing governments in Africa, many of them, until the government of America decided that no, they have to control it and monitor it and decentralize the cities to fight. And then it's late now that there was this question of terrorism. The mainland terrorism, that they felt that they have to further decentralize it. But now, the fact of the matter is that America, through its development, it at one time, as it was growing, in strength, it was centralized. Then as it developed now, it decentralized. Now, so that in South Africa also, now, the feeling is that the question of decentralizing action is that South Africa is still a new emerging country, and it cannot be on the same parallel with America and with the bigger powers, where they've got more strength and more experience in wars and in terrorism and all that. I think that is the main purpose that we have, to sort of decentralize so that there must be no roof end on controlling the security of the country. I think that is right.
Yeah, I just want to, I take it that when you say America did these things, we talk about the things that we know they did because it's recorded, and the things that they might have did because there was suspicion that they might have did these things of overthrowing governments in Africa. I think Honorable Fischler was, and we don't get into the detail, but I take it that Honorable Fischler is referring to those things where it is known, if they are in fact indeed known. And those things where there are suspicions that entities, foreign intelligence entities, were involved in these things. Yes, Honorable Nuka Badeli.
Richard, there are three things I want to say. The first one is the notes that you thought you have and you don't have. If we can request those notes, it will facilitate the moving forward, because we need to stop being talkative. We need to base our talks on what we want, and we talk too much in this country. The second thing is the issue of the issue of centralizing versus consolidation. We are saying we need to consolidate, there is a duplication of services, and we are dealing with a subject that is very sensitive, and we have been appointed to deal with it, which we appreciate, and to mend the issue of unconsolidated and duplicated types of actions takes any state into serious consideration and to serious demands. I've been for many years an operative myself, and I know what it is to have services that are all over. That are duplicated, it's a problem. It's a problem. This one is doing the same thing that is being done by that one. And then the information leaks, we don't know who leaked what. So we're not talking about consolidation, we really talk about consolidation. But I'm basing this argument on the fact that I hope we will get the note that you promise us. The last but one issue is the comment that has been made by Honorable Menir. I think they are very valuable. But as I'm saying, let's not be a talk shop. Let's allow Mr. Menier to write them down, because I was listening, and they make sense. If we can write them down, so that when we debate them and discuss them, we know what we're talking about, not listening from the verbal talk. Sometimes, in terms of the forensic signal, I'll always say, if a member of the family is found dealing with foreigners, we'll deal with him directly. Those are taking the pride of the family to foreigners. There's no qualm about it. As a man, I mean, if my child steals the pride of my family, which I've worked hard for it, and goes with it to eat it with the street kids, I'll deal with that child seriously. And we need to really think seriously about the issue of foreign signal intelligence and how it. That's why I'm requesting Honorable Minister to write down some of the things that are very useful. What the solution is coming with the solution, portable approaches, and they have to be written down so that you can all participate in them. But this will stand alone, the issue of foreign signals. No kindness from some of us. No kindness. We are not the top stewards of foreign intelligence. Why not? Thank you.
Honorable members, and I need to allow you to think, I can, and then I'm going to ask whether the minister's people want to contribute to the discussion. Honorable Mania, on the question of centralization, the contrary to your argument is also possible, which is what the Honorable Gabadelli is raising. You say, and I'm not sure what your evidence is. Your evidence is that there was a puppet system when it was centralized. It was quite powerful, but then obviously there was no oversight over this thing. This thing was so deep underground that not even the bosses knew what they were doing. So I don't think the comparison is a good one. But the point that the Honourable Gabadelli is raising is that when you bring these things together, you get better results. They're all over the show, and that's the point the minister was making. He's trying to get the whole question of bringing the SSA as a new entity is a consequence of experience. That the things which is not working when they were all over the show, all these DGs that you have, was creating a problem, and it was necessary to consolidate and bring these issues under one. That's the counter-argument. Now, what's wrong with that? There's no evidence that this thing is going to be as bad as what you were alleging, because it hasn't, it's in its formation stages. It's not doing anything, it can't do anything as bad as what these older public people do, because they've got oversight over these things, and these people are reporting. I don't recall that they were reporting it in the days of apartheid. So, I think the comparison is a unfair one. But I like the one in Cabadelli, which he says to you, but I've been there, we try to link these things together, we can get the better money, the value for money, which is certainly the work of the JSCI. Look at performance, and how do you monitor performance of people working in this very closed environment? You want to see that you're getting your rand's worth, that these people are actually working. And the way they are scattered, and accountability makes it difficult, and how to experience now the proposal. This proposal doesn't come with respect on Armenia in order to make the thing stronger. The proposal comes as a consequence of making it more efficient, which is the point that the Armenian is raising. So I don't know, I want to hear you on that, but I don't want to get into an argument. I don't want to convince you that you're wrong. I'm just saying that the Honourable Gabadelli is raising the counter, which is the basis on which the legislation has been amended. Then this mandate that you raise, the services as things are have got mandates. Now we can understand that perhaps you don't like the mandate. There is a Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence that watch these things. I don't think these mandates are any different. Is the right time to deal with this mandate if you are of the view that this whole question of national security and that should behave within the authority of national security as was incorporated in the particular fake information bill, which you still oppose, so question of national security, that bill is still not a return of the sun. But you say you prefer that. So why can that not wait? Because as what we are saying is, look, these people have got work. The law says they've got to do these things. It's all set out there. We are not asking them to do new things. We're just saying, come together, put these things in, continue to do these things. So why would the mandate be too wide? So you're only asking them to do what they're already doing. If we want them to do less, or if we want them to do more, then is the right time not to deal with that when the white paper comes. It's not the right time, as the minister says. There will be a broader debate. I'm just trying to give effect to the president's proclamation and get this thing formed. Later on, if we want our intelligence people to behave in a different manner in which they are behaving now, then let that be a broader debate. But that debate is going to complicate, it's going to take time, and I've got an obligation to comply with what the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Treasury is saying to me, and I'm getting problems because I am getting reports that are now being criticized as qualification reports now because this thing is taking too long. I just want to do the thing. Let everybody do what they are doing. So I don't know, why you would say that there is this risk and that this thing is broad. foreign signal, my view on the matter is, it's a matter if you want to get into the debate what these things do. I don't look at even just to see them on the Romania. You need a top secret clearance, that's all I can say to you. You understand? You can go to any country. The Americans, we were there, they didn't even want, I had to say three times, that is, excuse me. They don't even hear you. Any country you go to, this thing is a subject matter for people that have got top secret clearance, and the honorable official will tell you, and the honorable in the intelligence committee, that is what we deal with. We go there, we look, we scratch, we ask, and we put things right if things are wrong. Now, I don't want to get into the debate where you've got a judge and where you don't have a judge. If you look at the record, you will understand that some of the things you said about the judge can't happen. Okay. The RICA, which is the regulation that this is not classified. But honorable members, allow me to educate the honorable member who is at a disadvantage. And he's the one that's raising, but I think he needs to be educated. Please hear me. The RICA Act is a law. It's a regulation of interception communications. It is a law which provides for lawful interception of telecommunication of any sort. So where somebody is providing a service or telecommunications, your Vodacoms, your telecoms, what the RICA Act says is that no telecommunication provider can be granted a license by a customer unless they make their services interceptable. You cannot in South Africa today run a telecommunication service where you are providing to the public a service which cannot be intercepted. So the law specifically makes provision there. That once you have been granted a license, it would be on the basis that you have made your systems acceptable. And then the law provides that if law enforcement agencies need to intercept a communication, then they will go to the telecommunications provider and they would say, now I want to intercept the Honorable Burgess's communication. And then they would be allowed to do that. But cannot go there, they need to go there with the judge's order. And the judge, strangely enough, don't just give you these things. The law is very strict. You do not get these things. You can't go buy this order in the supermarket. It is extremely difficult to get such an order. And the JSCI monitors, we monitor the frequency. We speak to the judge so we know. The recent judge has made it even more difficult to get the order. People will try abusing from occasion time. You hear there are things happening that shouldn't happen, and we monitor these things. But just to give you some idea of how easy and how difficult it is to get an order. You cannot get an order by just going to the judge, and it has to be an application in writing by saying that Burgess has got this phone number and would like to intercept it. You have convinced the judge on affidavit that you have tried all possible means to obtain the information that you are looking for and you have failed. And the last resort now is that the judge must please consider to give you an order whereby you can intercept the judge's telephone call. And if you can't convince the judge, the act sets out the criteria that you have to set. The judge will turn you down, and the JSCI actually gets to hear that the judge turned down X amount of applications because they did not comply. So, honourable members, this information that comes up in the affidavit is just sensitive, that not even the JSCI looks at the actual contents. I then go back to my point which I made. In order to get into a debate of the HCC, you need to clear the JSCI. You need to have a top secret clearance. You saw the reluctance that the minister was showing here when he said you want to hear things about the HCC, the meeting is going to be closed, has to be closed, and before I can consider. Last time I spoke about things in the committee, you know, there was a rule scandal that people started requesting these documents, and I'm not happy with that. So he was a reluctant. I didn't interfere with the minister. I was just a said, minister, I don't encourage the people to have such, because these things are extremely sensitive. Now, just to help you again, if you went to a meeting or to a party, and there were a lot of people in the room, if you had good ears, and there are people with good ears, you might be able to focus into a conversation in the far corner whereby a particular conversation is taking place and people are discussing some lawful activities, unlawful activities there, or something that is disgraceful. But that is the nature of open meetings. That is the nature of working or moving around in the work or in the marketplace. You start to lose your confidentiality, you start to lose your privilege. If you sit in a taxi, you can hardly complain if you say to your friend next to you, I am on my way to rob the bank. If somebody hears you, you can't say that it interferes with your privacy. Out there in space, things are happening. If you've got good ears, you can listen to these things. It's just like going to a meeting. It's just like somebody talking nonsense at the meeting, thinking that nobody heard it. But if you've got good ears, you can actually listen. And it's his own fault. That's the common sense. That is the simple approach to foreign signals. You just have to understand on the book papers. Out there, you don't need an NCC. You can, if you want to, you know, you remember Breaker Breaker? Those of you that work with these, what are these videos called? The CB radios, you remember those things? And then eventually you know, these radios just stop listening to the police and you hear the ambulances and things. These things are out there in the air. I would imagine there are laws in South Africa that prohibit that, to be listening to police. But in the international community out there, overseas, in the satellites, it's like sitting and being in a marketplace and you have videos and you just hear what the people are saying there. Privacy is limited there to, you sit about there, you should be real fact people will be listening to you. Now you cannot say, so the controversy lies, what about mine? Become personal, what about mine? Well, what about the South African communication out there? You know, it's out there. Because if you listen, you more than likely will hear these things. So what about that? And that's unfortunate, so what do you do? That's what the JSCI monitors. So, honourable members, my view on the matter, and the minister was trying to ask the committee to this, my view on the matter is this NDC thing has no place in this particular bill. It should be excluded from the bill, that's my view of the matter. This is the matter for the JSCI to be dealing with. And when the debate takes place on the broader NSA, this is something that I think we could incorporate. But the people that has got the best knowledge and the most to say on this NCC are the people in the JSCI. That's where the thing is going to be probably dealt with. Honourable members, can we hear, do you want to hear the minister's people? Starting honourable members.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was just going through the Riga Act and I'm looking at Chapter 10 under the general provisions. That is 58. Isn't the judge, I think it's exactly what the minister says. Let's just leave it at that. So this is not a regulation. It's an act. Now, Chairperson, just a little. You know, at times when we begin to want to equate ourselves with the international experience, it normally takes me back to negotiation. Where it leads us to find ourselves where we are today. Why did we come up with a constitution? Who were we? We are not politicizing anything at a particular time, as much as we are not politicizing anything at this moment in time. This is all about the safety. It's all about all South Africans, irrespective of their political affiliation. We're not playing games here. things that are happening internationally and otherwise, we have to have strong intelligence in our own country. You can go to countries, you can go to what is currently happening in the DRC and many other countries as they do, and ask yourself as to what is actually happening. So what I'm trying to say here, Chairperson, it pains me because our past was not an easy past. There are people to date who want us to forget as to where we come from, as to how the building blocks and the foundation of this country have been built. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because it pains me because we know where we come from. But once we find ourselves on this day, we begin to politicize issues and not consider and think that's what we intend and what we're doing from 1994 to date to shape and build this country. So what the minister is intending to come up with is to begin to shape. We are the leaders in the whole world with what we achieved in 1994. I'm saying this, Jefferson, because there are those who are just not there. They've never experienced anything. They've never been part of how things went, even in the Truth Commission in that matter. The reason why I'm bringing these issues up, Jefferson, I'm then saying, at times whenever we find ourselves discussing and debating in this committee, same as in the JSCI, it is for politicizing issues. The truth of the matter, that is not the case. So I'm saying, let us be level-headed when we think about this. Separate the two. It was just an ad hoc committee. It was not the JSCI. So if we are going to begin to invade and want to understand what is happening in that particular committee, the JSCI, let us be sworn in so that we can also go and serve in that particular committee. So I'm then saying, Chairperson, let us lead ourselves to what is before us, and if need be, as Comrade Mkabate said, truthfully, Mr. Manuel came up with valid points. If those are then being voted, we can, in our next meeting, begin to debate each fundamental point that is coming up with, so that we can then begin to engage the bill clause by clause as we move on. Because now we're going to begin to throw, the minister said this, the minister said that, and wanting the department to begin to explain. If we now begin to do it by look at people agreeing on the bill itself as it comes. So it's important that the point that has been raised by the honourable member here, we look into that and then we begin to zoom into the clause by clause issue so that we can then begin to discuss and deliberate it in a more focused way. Thank you, Chair.
Any other honourable members? Before I come back to you, the issue that the Honourable Mayor, I take it as the Minister's leadership in it, so I think you're giving a pass on that, and then I think you don't have to comment on the thing. Honourable Mayor, before I hear you, the Honourable Members are saying that they hear what you say, some of them are even saying they like what you say. I don't necessarily think that means they agree with what you say, but they like what you say. They would like to consider those things now. If there are anything else that you want to say, I'm sure they're going to raise exactly the same thing. They would like to see it in writing so that a proper response, an informed response can be worked on, do you understand? And in the debate, I think the argument is going to be more useful rather than they be confronted with the thing on this, so I don't know, is there anything else? I'd hear you just on the response to what has been said now, but if there are other things, is it possible that we can get a document circulated so that if there is anything more, I don't want to encourage you to add more stuff, but if that is your final say on the thing, then I can just get that in writing circulated, because I think the Honourable Members would want to respond to that in that way. Honourable Member.
Chair, I'd like to just briefly respond to the points raised under the question of centralisation, the mandate in foreign signals intelligence, and then I'll refer to the point which you've just raised. First, A number of issues were raised on the whole question of the formation of the State Security Agency and centralization. And there are really two counterpoints to that argument. Yes, in 1994, I mean, we, as one member said, we were the leaders. And it's precisely for that reason that a new white paper on intelligence was developed. And in that white paper, there was a major departure from what the white paper itself called the old dispensation, and we therefore created two separate services, a domestic intelligence service, the National Intelligence Agency, and a foreign intelligence service, the South African Secret Service. And I'd just like to read from that provision to remind members, where the white paper says the most significant departure from the old dispensation is that instead of one centralized national civilian intelligence organization, there will now be two. This arrangement will not only ensure that the new intelligence dispensation in South Africa corresponds with general international trends, but it will also promote greater focusing, effectiveness, professionalism, and expertise in the specialized fields of domestic and foreign intelligence. And my point, Chair, is simply that the formation of the State Security Agency is a major departure from that policy. There's a second argument about centralization, and that is the Minister's argument, which to some extent is echoed by yourself, is that through centralization there are administrative efficiency gains. But Chair, when there's a choice between greater centralization and some administrative efficiency, and perhaps decentralization and a slight loss of administrative efficiency, then a liberal or constitutional democrat always chooses the latter. Less centralization and slightly less, or more decentralization and slightly less administrative efficiency. And why? Well, it's because divided power is always morally superior to centralized power in a constitutional democracy. So those arguments I think we need to look at. Chair, when it comes to the mandate, you ask, well, is this the right time and why can we not wait until the minister introduces a new white paper and the state security bill? Well, the point is exactly the point that you made. Let the agencies do what they're already doing, but the question is, what are they doing? And there's a concern, and that concern seems to, the last decade, be supported by some evidence that the State Security Agency or the entities which make up the State Security Agencies have in the past become involved in what is generally called political intelligence. And that in concern, I think, is so great that we should find a way in this committee to deal with it now as part of this bill. Finally, coming to foreign signals intelligence. I don't want to be misunderstood. The fact that the National Communication Center exists and the fact that we have a capability to collect foreign signals intelligence is a huge competitive advantage, and I accept that we need a strong intelligence service. My only concern is that that function be properly regulated. And I have to say, today, I mean, we can still discuss this, that I do not accept that the provisions that deal with the regulation of foreign signals intelligence, let me be clear, the provisions that deal with the regulation of foreign intelligence in the ministerial regulations, I don't accept that they cannot be made available to this committee and be made public. I'm not arguing that the regulations that deal with foreign signals intelligence in general should be made available. I'm only asking that, or asking this committee to consider the question of whether those sections of the regulations which deal specifically with how we control the NCCC, the NCC and foreign signals intelligence be made available so that we can properly legislate in this matter. I completely accept that the NCC, the foreign signals intelligence in general is a is a an environment which is highly confidential and secret. I believe that. The whole issue of how we control that capacity, I think, should be the subject of a public debate. Thank you. Chair, the point that you raised and that the members raised, asked whether we could circulate our general positions in writing, I will endeavour to supply you with such a document together with my colleague as soon as possible. So just bear in mind that there's the Arms Procurement Commission looming, but I will get you that document as soon as possible. But my taking is to set out a general position so that we can have a debate, not the amendment that would give effect to that revision.
Honourable members. A matter that pertain to the JSCI must pertain to the JSCI. And I must stress that those matters in a general sense might be raised just to get clarity. And I would, once clarity is given, will consider the matter to be closed. Now, I want to deal just quickly with the ministerial directives. And the Honourable Mania says that he is of the view that the thing needs to be properly regulated, and I think there can be a disagreement with it, except I hope the implication is that it is not being properly regulated. That would be a serious thing. But in your own argument, Honourable Mania, you cannot know what's going on there because you don't know the regulations, nor do you know what is happening there. So it would be incorrect of me to start telling you that you do not have the necessary security clearance to hear all those things. But I will take your concern to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, where the thing will be debated to see whether this thing has been properly regulated and whether the ministerial directors, which is presently in operation, is doing giving effect to the concerns that you're raising. Because in order to deal with the subject matter and the concern, one will have, you can't regulate something you don't understand. You can't deal with something that you don't know what it's doing. You can't deal with it if you don't know what people is doing. And in order to deal with that problem, you must agree and concede. Therefore, that you're going to need a very top secret clearance. And this is not the place. And hence, I think the minister is generally in agreement that that matter is something that needs not to be in the vote. And I think at the appropriate time, the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence will deal with that thing. But he's very, very much aware and is monitoring that thing. So that's the foreign signal, sir. I think that thing is going to go to the appropriate place. The question of this mandate, I am having difficulty on it, but it could be that my grey material is getting greyer. Having difficulty because, you see, when you take SAS, South African Secret Service, and you say to them, just come a little bit closer to NIA, which is NIA, okay? They bring the two NIA National Intelligence in, and these were you're reading from the white paper. You bring them closer. What has happened is they don't disappear now that they no longer exist. The functions are still there. The only difference is there's no longer a DG. Okay? There's no longer a director general, there is a deputy DG, who, for all intents and purposes, is doing the work that the DG would have been doing. So your institutions, your sub-institutions, and I can't go into that because that is a classified matter, your secret services that has a mandate, okay, we talk now of a domestic mandate, which is new. You deal with things in the country, and we deal with a foreign mandate, which is your sub, just terminology. Okay, so your foreign mandate, they've got things that they do out there. There is a person, he's a deputy DG. He's doing exactly the same things that the DG did. There's no confusion. He is not involved in the near stuff. The near stuff is the near people. That's your domestic guy, and he's continuing to do what near was doing. But the only thing now that there is a DG that they have to report to, they no longer report to themselves. Now, what's wrong with that? The argument that the Honourable Minister raises is that this is not centralizing. I mean, if you look at the bill talks about to accommodate and establish a technical amendment. So the centralizing, I think, is a terminology which you use, and when it's appropriate, that, you know, it could work. Maybe you can't call it centralizing. But the way I'm explaining to you, Honourable Major, it is a simple situation. Your NIA has just come, and they're operating now maybe in one building. In fact, they're operating as they used to. They're there in some place where you may or may not know they are there. Nothing has changed. The only thing is that the DG has found himself no longer to be a DG. He's now a deputy DG. And that's also, I don't know where the fear is that when you bring them close together, the bring close together is a conceptual thing. Physically, they are just there where they were. They're doing exactly what they're doing. And all that is happening now is one annual report, because the problem originally started arising. Each of these individuals had a DG, and in terms of the PFMA, each of them had to report individually an annual report. And so you've got ComSec with an annual report, you've got SAS with an annual report, you've got NIA with an annual report. Everything was getting a bit out of hand. And you've got all these other people or spending agents under near the budget, as you see. So now you've got one report. A safe security agent had a report. And they all in there. Okay. That's real. But if you went with us, we show you that you see they just there do the same thing. The only unfortunate thing for the DG now, it used to be DG SUS, is the Deputy Director General Domestic branch of the SLA is no longer the DG of NIA. Okay, so his title has changed. But it's all done in good faith, you understand? The migration and these things have been taking some time because one job descriptions have changed the other day. So I think the fear that you might have, Honourable Mayor, and this will come up in the debate, but I think as you formulate your document, keep this in mind, because I would like you to address those arguments if your document is facing those arguments that I've put before you now are false or have no substance. I'd like you to address it, because that is what you're going to hear. Some of my members are at a disadvantage, and hence they have asked for this document, but I'm giving you the answer. Now, I don't want you to debate this thing with the Honourable Major, because I might put you at a disadvantage. If you want to challenge me on what I said, I would propose that you put it in the document, but if you have a comment that you think we need to hear, and then I would hear your no mania.
Jarvis, you look forward to debating this with you and members of the committee as we go forward, but there's a comment I'd like to make. Your central argument that, in fact, the formation of the State Security Agency is not centralization, but is, in fact, consolidation, is based on the fact that the domestic and foreign intelligence services are now warehoused in the State Security Agency under a deputy DG. Presumably, the deputy DG of both the foreign intelligence component and the domestic intelligence component report to the DG of the State Security Agency. That is centralization, not consolidation.
Tomatoes, tomatoes, or I don't know what you prefer. Maybe, you know, if you came from Massachusetts, you'd say he had a head attack instead of a heart attack. Stephanologies. It's either the centralization, maybe it incorporates what you're trying to say, maybe it incorporates what I'm trying to say. I look at all of you. The Honourable
Honourable Chair, that my challenge is that I normally get corrected to take the meeting back because I was not here for maybe two meetings. But Chair, where I want to go to, I want to raise two issues. The first issue is that perhaps in terms of the issue that we are grappling with, We will progress a lot if we get that for me that the research information document that we spoke about it I think last year that seeks to put all things together in terms of the public hearing that we had before. So that document, if we could get that, it would assist us in dealing with some of the things that we're grappling with. Based in terms of the terms, the public perspective, in terms of the hearing, the concern that we presented, whether there is a consolidation or centralization, I think there was lots of that discussion in those in the public hearing. So if we could have that that information, that research work would help us to navigate, even when we go to close by close, I think it will help us, because there were lots of issues that those presentations focusing on. So that's the first thing I want to say. It may have been circulated in one or two meetings before. If so, I would just be happy to get a document. The second issue that I want to raise is perhaps the difficulties that I think you presented. We have the background information, we have the white paper, we have where we are currently. There is a debate about that has been raised by the Honourable Manya about the issue about the what he termed consolidation, the centralization, that's what he used. But where I'm sitting and I'm listening to a debate, in terms of the white paper, the one, the old and the new, there's a new one that will come next year that the minister spoke about that he promised is 2014, if I'm remembering correctly. So the situation that we face, and I think we need to help each other to cross that bridge, is that the formation of the consolidated department, as it was done after the 2009 election, is basically, that has been the president overriding the provision in one thing, in terms of the two. Basically, the decision to form one department, consolidated core state agency, security agency, is what we now have, which is probably contrary to what the white paper suggests. But the challenge that we have as a committee, it is ability to undo it. For one thing, I think our challenge, much as the white paper remains relevant, but the challenge we have is to undo it. We can't undo it. That what is already proclaimed by the president has done. So it becomes a policy, which is the challenge that we're sitting with. So if we debate with that understanding, I want to at least have the debate with that understanding that we have the issue about the white paper, but the decision to form this ministry overrides certain sections of the white paper. Perhaps it's what the minister is now beginning to say, we will have to review and amend and required white paper in terms of the current situation. I have raised the issue, though, then that the challenge that we have is that we're doing the consolidation before the white paper, but this is an issue that I've raised. But this is the issue of my position, but the current reality that we're confronted with now, the consolidation, bringing all this, the actors before us. So I want us to flag this issue that has been raised by Honorable Manion, the issue about the white paper, as it stands before 2009 issue and after 2009, because the proclamation basically overrides that particular section. And then ask the question in terms of when we grapple with the clause by clause, how we then deal with that. Maybe we'll find another. So I'm just wanting to say, Chair, from one sitting where I'm sitting and I'm listening to the debate and understanding that process, what the president has already done now, is basically how do we then move forward? So I think we should flag it and then begin to move forward with understanding. Because I want to be realistic that I'm not sure whether we'll be able to undo what the president has already done in terms of the proclamation by already proclaiming that this is now your ministry in terms of the powers that that were conferred. So the issue is going to be how do we then undo it to make sure that we now have this consolidated act as we see from what we see from as Parliament, that begins to address some of the things that is in the white paper. As you understand, this is a holding arrangement up until the new white paper is been released by the Minister. So So, Chair, that is my 5 cents left in this debate. But I think that I will go back to the first point. So the first point is that where I started in terms of the just the benefit of the consolidated material that will help us to navigate through the some of these issues. Thank you, Chair, and I.
Honourable members. Sangomena.
Chair, I had a second comment that I wanted to make before you turn to the Honourable member. I just want to, this is simply a comment, I don't think we need to discuss it, but I do want to just express a concern that in dealing with foreign signals, the difficult question of the regulation of foreign signals intelligence, I just want to express a concern that we could get into a legislative danger zone if we warehouse the debate about the regulation of foreign signals intelligence in the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence outside the public domain. I just would like you to consider that there could be costs to that approach. Ultimately, I mean, what we would be proposing would be to ensure that there is legislative control of foreign signals intelligence, and by that I mean that there is judicial authorization of the interception of communication that may arise out of bulk interception by the NCC. That is what we're looking for. So I would argue very strongly that we keep that debate inside this committee, inside the public domain, and try hard to find a balance between your legitimate concerns that the NCC and Foreign Signals Intelligence is a highly classified environment, and on the other hand, public concern that the NCC and Foreign Signals Intelligence, that there may be loopholes, and that have not been closed, and that the NCC and Foreign Signals Intelligence may be used as a vehicle to circumvent provisions in RICA. I think we should work hard to try and strike that balance. I just leave it at that, Chair.
Honourable members? I'm going to proceed with no further discussion, but for fear of the Honourable Rama Rani trying to flag things in any reason, I have one thing to address on flagging things. I don't think you can just flag things if you don't have the support of the committee. I'm not sure what he meant by flagging. So there will be a debate in this question of white paper needs to be great. Either the Romania has raised it, and I expect these people will address this particular thing of the white paper that is the deviation that he's raising, which is said as a policy thing. We deal with that at the appropriate time, but to flag things. The question on the Romania about this, I'm going to give you some little bit more education very quickly. RICA, this law that allows for lawful interception, only applies to lawful interception within the country, and you carry it, and it's nobody's business what's happening. You see, you can ignore all that says that if you're stealing in another country, it's an offense in this country. But RICA, because of the nature of the subject matter, applies only to interceptions in this country. So you can't go to the judge and say to the judge, I'd like to intercept these phone calls that are taking place in Zimbabwe. In any event, the service provider that is supposed to make the services interceptable would not be sitting here in this country. And if it did, they will tell you to go to help because it applies only to interceptions within the South African borders. The NCC does not deal with anything that happened in the borders of South Africa. Okay. Does it help you understand what I'm trying to say? The NCC is listening to conversations in this very marketplace I mentioned. I'm just using the imagery. There's a marketplace. You go to the market. At some of them in the corner, of course, you've got goodies. You can actually hear the guy selling fish there is complaining about certain things, and you can actually hear that. Okay. It's not. I don't want to comment. I don't want you. I'm just helping you to think. So Africa has got its limitations, it's got its what's name, and the SEC, these things are not happening in the border. Honorable Fichler?
Thank you, Chair. You know, interestingly enough, while the honorable member O'Neill wants some balancing and flexibility on us on this question of deception and the passing of information, in America they are piloting a bill presently of saying anybody passes information to a foreign agent, a citizen of America, he must be killed wherever he is. They call it a drone deal, where they send a pilotless plane to hit those individuals. Now, the parliament there, the Congress of Senegal, are saying, why should you be a prosecutor, a judge, an executor? That's the argument. And also they are saying that rather than this being done to American citizens, it can be done to foreign citizens of other countries who are endangering the state of America by passing dangerous information to America. So that's I'm just telling you the seriousness of passing information to other countries and how they take it in America.
Yeah. I think just to put the Honorable Fischer's matter in context, the issue of American citizens are very sensitive things to Americans, so much so that Americans have not become signatories to the international criminal courts. Their view is that they won't have their citizens subjected to a jurisdiction of criminal law over which they do not have jurisdiction. So they have not, although they encourage everybody else to sign, they themselves have not signed. But this is a general approach that they have to their citizens. So there is a debate about American citizens that are involved in wrongdoing. I'm not really familiar. I'm speaking of the debate as it was on TV when we were there and as we had met with people. And their citizens are involved in wrongdoing. They have not been brought back to their country to face trial, but they have been identified as wrongdoers and assisting terrorists, and then the question arises how do they deal with them, because other people that are involved in wrongdoing that are targeting Americans, citizens and American territory, are targeted without having to assess whether they are in fact guilty or not. And what the Honorable Fischler is saying is that very often Americans and you've heard of the stones, they would send unmanned aircraft into the area and the aircraft would fire a missile and it will then destroy the enemy. And that seems to be the future. They no longer send raiding parties or very highly trained people. They find you in a particular area and you are what they regard as a terrorist. They would eliminate you, as they say, by sending an unmanned aircraft there that will fire inside. There's been a controversy because recently an American citizen was killed in this way. And the argument was that was an unintended consequence. And so, yeah, well, if it is an unintended consequence, you can't have our people die. By unintended consequences, because at all times American citizens like to be protected. So this thing that the Honorable is raising that in the argument, those that are trying to protect the action that was taken there thinks is that if you are involved in wrongdoing, unintended consequences will sometimes visit you. And so, of course, the attempt was by whoever was responsible, I'm not sure if it's the Democrats or the Republicans, they were trying to justify the fact that an American citizen was killed. He was involved in wrongdoing, and so I think the point the Honorable Fischler is trying to make is that, you know, intelligence, and particularly if you're dealing with foreign intelligence, are a serious thing. And we must be careful that we don't take this thing serious, or that you start to take it serious at the wrong time, and it's too late. So honourable members, I will insist that the JSDI is an appropriate facility where things of a sensitive nature needs to be discussed. Now, I want to those honourable members, I can see that the debates are come to an end, and I'm not going to, I think there's been some useful understandings here. So understandings, if you agree or if you don't agree, you take it with you, you come back later on, and we will, if there's an understanding that the understanding is fair, then we will proceed on that basis and we will discuss some of the other things that the honourable members.
So I think
we've identified the areas of concern to a project here. I don't think we can go much deeper into whether it should be a he or a she, or a was or a is. Those are semantics. I think the areas that the honourable man has raised are the areas that are going to be the areas that we will iron out. And I think once we receive the document from the honourable man, there will be more clarity and there will be more sophisticated arguments. So I'm sure the honourable man is now going to streamline his document and try and deal with some of the issues that I've raised. And then I think there will be a more sophisticated approach to the discussion we took now. But I think once that is finished, like the Honourable Batali has said, we need to come to a point where we need to just deal with these things. It's so simple. And when you get this document that I've promised you, you would be able to see this centralization or the accommodation or consolidation thing, whatever you want to, terminology you prefer. You will see it there before your very eyes. Not difficult. And you would then be able to say, I agree with it, and I see no reason why that thing should not be approved in that form. And then that process, I think, is going to be very simple and very quick. I can even say to you, all those in favor of the Intelligence Services Act to be amended as set out in the document, can you raise your hands? I can see you all just raising your hands to agree to one big fat document because it is so simple to understand. There's nothing new that we are introducing. Argument that we should introduce new things, it's a novel argument, that is what we will deal with. Honourable members, there have been no further discussion, no further hands, and I think it is an appropriate time for me to declare this meeting closed.